Offside.
Pokojninska nezaupnica. V spodnjem delu francoskega parlamenta pravkar razpravljajo o dveh nezaupnicah vladi, ker je ta mimo parlamenta sprejela pokojninsko reformo. Senat je reformo, po kateri bodo državljani za isto pokojnino morali delati dlje, potrdil v četrtek, glasovanje v spodnjem domu oziroma narodni skupščini pa ni bilo. Predsednik Emmanuel Macron je namreč dvomil, da bo zakon v spodnjem domu parlamenta sprejet, ker tam ni imel zagotovljene večine. Vlada je zato uporabila tretji odstavek 49. člena ustave, ki ji dovoljuje sprejem zakona brez glasovanja v parlamentu. Po tem ustavnem določilu se šteje, da je zakon uveljavljen, če vlada prestane glasovanje o nezaupnici, za kar lahko opozicija vloži pobudo v roku 24 ur od sprejema zakona. Ko je Macron izvedel reformo mimo narodne skupščine, je pri opoziciji, še bolj pa pri državljanih in sindikatih, okrepil val neodobravanja, ki ga je povzročila reforma. Ljudje proti reformi zaradi njene vsebine namreč protestirajo in stavkajo že 2 meseca. Ključne dele reforme, proti kateri so sindikati že napovedali novo splošno stavko, predstavi Philippe Merlier, politolog na Univerzitetnem koledžu v Londonu.
The main provision in that bill is to push back the retirement age from the current 62 to 40 to 64. So of course that's the sort of official age, but there's also a requirement to, if you want to get a full pension, to work a minimum of 40 years. So that's the two combined, of course, means that a lot of people, those particularly who start working, not so early, will have probably to work after 64. So that's essentially what the reform is about. There's also a question of trying to address the situation of various workers, particularly those who started to work early in a sort of difficult, painful, manual occupations. There are provisions for them so that they could retire sort of before 64.
Macron je poskusil pokojninsko reformo v nekoliko drugačni obliki izpeljati že leta 2020, a mu to zaradi 3-mesečnih stavk ni uspelo. Reformo je večkrat preložil, v kampanji za lanske predsedniške volitve pa jo je znova obljubljal. Kljub predsednikovi prepričanosti v nujnost reforme, ta nima večinske podpore ne med ljudstvom, ne v parlamentu. Kontroverzne aspekte reforme nadalje pojasnjuje Emma Pearson, urednica spletnega portala The Local France.
And it changes the way that pensions are calculated. French pensions are administered by the state, but it's not a benefit, it's not a handout you pay into your pension as well. So these are pensions that people have contributed to. Probably the big thing, apart from the raising of the pension age, is the changing of what they call special regimes. These are regimes based on certain jobs that allow certain people to retire early. So, for example, train drivers, they can retire at 55 because they're in the special regime for train drivers. What this reform does is kind of merge all of the different pensions into one large pot. So regardless of where you work, you're under the same regime. So for people like train drivers, for example, who currently have a special arrangement, that would mean that they're working longer. So there are still some exceptions, you know, for people who have very physical jobs, but it means in general everybody's under the same regime, and that's also one of the things that's causing controversy with unions that represent those groups.
Po novi reformi bodo morali imeti državljani 43 let delovne dobe, da bodo upravičeni do polne pokojnine. V primeru krajše delovne dobe bodo morali ob dopolnjenih 64 letih nadaljevati z delom ali se zadovoljiti z nižjo pokojnino. Ta sprememba bo zaradi nestalnega dela prizadela predvsem prekarne delavce, zaradi kariernih premorov in pogostega skrajšanega delovnega časa povezanega s skrbjo za otroke, pa tudi ženske.
It's a reform which will hit workers in different ways. Not everyone will be affected in the same way. In particular, studies have shown that women who tend to have a working life which can be interrupted, notably when they have children, and also precarious workers, people who are on precarious jobs and who lose them, who can be unemployed for a while, etc. Those categories, more vulnerable, will be hit more by the reform, which means they will certainly have to work longer than currently. I think for people, you know, people who are educated, who have degrees and stayed in universities for a long time, that won't change much because those people already had to work past the age of 62 currently. So it's really essentially precarious workers, manual workers, and women who will be affected by the reform. So it is seen as unfair for that reason.
Macron je prepričan, da je sistem, ki financira upokojitev pri 62 letih, finančno nesmiselen. Manj delovno aktivnih ljudi namreč zagotavlja pokojnine vse večjemu številu upokojencev z daljšo življenjsko dobo, kar ni vzdržno. Ustrajanje pri dosedanjem sistemu bi po mnenju predsednika, ki je, če ste pozabili, nekdanji bančnik, privedlo do prevelikih finančnih tveganj.
Macron's view is that the reform is needed on economic terms. You know, if the current situation is no longer sustainable, you know, the usual arguments of aging population, we need more money to fund the sort of the pension, because it is workers who, through their payment when they work, who put money into a pot for retirees, and of course when you retire you in turn benefit from that. That's the way it works in France, and I think there is the economic argument, but it has been debunked or dismissed by a number of economists in France. You know, it's a very complex debate, and it's probably not the place here to go into detail, but I think there's been really surveys of very eminent economists saying that what is missing is essentially the political will on the part of Macron. I think the pension scheme is viable. It's just probably Macron would need to make other political decisions and ask people who are richer to contribute more, employers to contribute more, and the state as well. Money can be found. So that's for the economic argument. I think the second argument could be Macron, you know, was elected as a sort of centrist, center-right modernizer, and I think it will be part of that project of, you know, it's his second and last term. He can't run again next time. So he would hope to have done that major reform. But it's bizarre because I don't think, you know, the risks were very high from the start. He must have known that he would meet a position that it would be unpopular. So he's taken that risk. And I think the reason why he's made that big gamble is probably, it's very hard to explain. It has to do, in my view, with Macron's governing style as a president, which is more and more top-down, authoritarian, doesn't consult, doesn't listen, thinks he's always right. And if you put all that together, that could be the explanation, you know, thinking that whatever the opposition, he would be able to have his way.
Največji protesti v zadnjih 30 letih, ki so jih proti reformi organizirali sindikati, so bili po večini mirni. Manjši in bolj spontani protesti, ki so se začeli v četrtek po potrditvi zakona mimo parlamenta, pa so postali nasilni.
Here I think all the marches were clearly more sort of a more typical sort of a union left-wing mobilization. I think on the whole demonstration have been very peaceful. And I think it's only now that things are getting, have been deteriorating since the passing of the law. And yes, there are people, minority groups who are there for more spectacular types of action. They might be violent sometimes, but let's never forget that the French police has, is also very much able to act in a very violent, brutal way. There's a lot of it's very well documented that you know over the past 10-15 years it's been of all polices in Europe, particularly in Western Europe, I think the French police is certainly one of the most brutal, and it's very well documented. And go to the social media and you will find a lot of evidence of you see a peaceful march and suddenly you see hundreds of policemen charging and beating up people, arresting people. It's part of a strategy which is very controversial, and that's why I fear that now that you've got people who will be on the demonstrators' side, you know, more willing to be more physical. And I think the police reaction will also be physical. So I fear that there could be acts of violence across France, particularly in big cities. And of course, acts of violence are never good for any social movement, because the government will say, well, look, you see, those people are thugs.
Še k postopku, po katerem je francoska vlada sprejela reformo. Tretji odstavek 49. člena ustave vladi omogoča, da sprejme zakon o financah ali financiranju socialne varnosti brez glasovanja v parlamentu. V tem primeru je zakon sprejet, če vlada prestane glasovanje o nezaupnici, pojasnjuje Emma Pearson.
So basically article 49.3, it's an article of the French constitution in the form that it was adopted in 1958. So this has been part of the French political landscape since 1958. And what it allows the government to do is to force a bill through parliament without giving MPs a vote. There are some limits on it. So you can only use it once in the parliamentary term, so the five-year parliamentary term. You can only use it once on non-financial bills, but financial bills such as the budget, you can use it an unlimited number of times. And it's actually not that uncommon for French politicians to have used it over the last 70 years or so. There have been prime ministers who've used it dozens of times during their term. So it's not just a sort of it's not a new thing, and it's not just a thing that Macron is using. French presidents have kind of always resorted to this. But it obviously lays people open to the charge that they're being undemocratic, that, you know, the parliament doesn't want this, the parliament is unlikely to vote for it, but they're pushing it through anyway. So that's kind of the problem with it. There is a fail-safe in it that parliament has the option to call a vote of no confidence in the government after it's used, and if that is passed, then the prime minister has to resign. So that's kind of what we're seeing here today on Monday.
Francoski parlament ima torej omejeno zakonodajno oblast. Teoretično je vlada s premijejko na čelu tista, ki lahko sprejema tudi večje politične odločitve. V praksi pa je v Franciji predsednik tisti, ki odobri ali da pobudo za manj konvencionalne odločitve. Kako je pri pokojninski reformi vlada ustanovni člen uporabila, opiše Marlier.
Explain why this time round it is controversial. It's never something people like, because it is a very authoritarian way to put an end to a parliamentary debate where, you know, you have a bill being submitted to the chamber. And of course, in every democracy, MPs discuss it. The opposition will table amendments to try to get them adopted, to change a little bit the law. So all that was in place, of course, when the discussion on the pension reform started. But then the government you know, took very controversial decisions. First of all, to limit the debate time to 50 days. The Constitution gives the government that power, you know. And there were thousands of amendments to discuss and debate. Of course, that meant that no proper discussion could be carried out with such drastic time limitation. Secondly, even after limiting the debate time in Parliament, because there was no majority in support of the text, you know, 287 votes were needed to pass the law. Macron's party have a sort of relative majority, so they're short of an absolute majority. The main one of the opposition party, Les Républicains Conservatives, could have voted that bill because mostly they are in agreement with it, but it didn't for political reasons. They didn't want to rescue Macron on this. So because they fell short of majority, the Prime Minister, Elisabeth Borne, that's her name, came before the House and said, well, I pledge before you MPs the responsibility of my government on that law.
Predsednik se z očitki o nedemokratičnosti sprejema zakona ne strinja. Ustraja namreč, da je bila njegova odločitev demokratična, ker parlament lahko o reformi odloča z današnjima nezaupnicama. Prvi predlog nezaupnice je vložil desničarski nacionalni zbor, ki ga neuradno vodi Marine Le Pen, drugega pa sredinski blok Lio, ki mu pri glasovanju veliko večino glasov v tem primeru zagotavlja zavezništvo NUP, sestavljeno iz nepokornežev, socialistov, komunistov in drugih levih strank.
In no confidence vote, well, interestingly, it's a trans-party confidence motion, no confidence motion, which is very rare. Normally, you know, no confidence motions are either tabled by parties of the left or parties of the right, or even the far right on its own, Marine Le Pen's party on its own. Here, it's they will be together, which shows again how unique and serious the situation is, because normally the left doesn't want to share a platform with the far right, never. But since the far right is in theory also opposed to the reform, like the left, although of course their motivations and rationale are different, but I think at least they all say we don't want that retirement age pushed to 64. So they will sort of gather together and vote that motion. So they will get quite a lot of votes. So there will be the centrist, a group of centrists, all the left, several parties on the left, and the far right, Marine Le Pen's parliamentary group. So I think the undecided parliamentary group is Les Républicains.
Odločilno vlogo pri izglasovanju nezaupnic bo imela republikanska stranka. Če bi celotna opozicija glasovala skupaj, bi namreč do uspeha nezaupnice zmanjkalo 32 glasov. Zakaj bodo pretehtali glasovi republikancev, razloži Pearson.
Yeah, I mean, what is going on with the Republican is a great question that a lot of people are asking right now. Just for a bit of background, Les Républicains, they're the traditional centre-right party of France. So they're the party of ex-presidents Charles de Gaulle, Nicolas Sarkozy. They suffered a massive electoral collapse in 2017. So they were this big dominant party in France, and now they're greatly reduced, much smaller. And they're kind of having a lot of internal political struggles at the moment, which kind of makes it quite hard to predict what they will do. That, you know, they have a leadership that says one thing, not all of their MPs follow that. They're a bit of a mess, really. What seems likely is that they won't support this vote, and the reason for that really is electoral. That if a new election was called, they're predicted to do quite badly, even worse than they did in the last election. So they would lost their power. So it's not in their interest to vote for this. At the moment, they act as a sort of power broker in Parliament, although they only have 61 MPs, so they're quite a small party. They kind of hold the balance of power, so they have more power than... They have a disproportionate amount of power. So it kind of seems unlikely that they would give that up and risk losing their seats from a pragmatic point of view. But there are quite a few MPs within the party who don't seem to be following the party line. So that's kind of why it makes it quite hard to predict what they will do today.
V primeru izglasovane nezaupnice vlada pade, predlog zakona pa je s tem dokončno zavrnjen. Prav tako je predsednik Macron že obljubil razpis parlamentarnih volitev, na katerih bi bila po besedah Filipa Marliera desnica deležna visoke volilne podpore. Kaj pa se zgodi v primeru, da poslanci nezaupnico zavrnejo?
It is fair to say that if the government stays in place and is not censored, I think the situation will remain very tense. It will remain very tense in all areas, you know, in parliament, because I think the tone, the atmosphere in the House were extremely tense during those debates. You might say, yes, oppositions can be very vocal, make a lot of noise when they disagree, and that's their role. But here, I think we've reached a sort of a new levels of opposition and tension. It was, I've never seen in a very long time a situation as tense as that. And also, what is really, and that's part of the difficulty to read French politics today, is that the political game is so fragmented today. Before, you used to have a left and a right. The far right was very small, marginal, and you had a major party on the center right. You had a major party on the center left. Now these two main parties are very weak, and instead you have more parties. It's so fragmented. It's so very volatile. Macron is very unpopular. So I think what probably will happen next is that there might be a change of prime minister. You know, the prime minister might have to go because the situation is not good for the government. The prime minister will be regarded as the culprit, although the main culprit, we know it, is Macron.
V Franciji poštena pokojnina ni le pravica, ampak po besedah sogovorca tudi razširjen in ponotranjen sentiment. V zasluženi in kvalitetni upokojitvi naj bi ljudje vsaj 10 let uživali brez večjih zdravstvenih težav. Zaradi tega prepričanja in nepoštenosti pokojninske reforme bodo Francozi na ulicah ustrajali. Stavke javnega sektorja za seboj puščajo vidne posledice, ki ovirajo potek vsakdanjega javnega življenja. Železniški promet je upočasnjen, nekatere univerze so zaprte, v Parizu pa velik problem predstavljajo kupi smeti na ulicah in cestah. Zadnjo besedo bo vendarle imel parlament. Offside je pripravila Vajenka Lara, zraven je sedela Zala.
Offside.
Je kao, znak semafor, hidrant, grmovje, slovenik, pograjal se, prebol, prejde se po 89 cm ustavil.